All right, I just want to talk about something briefly. It's a school of prayer, so what we do is we learn, and then we also pray. And our learning is purely around the subject of prayer, unless we are doing something else. And let me just explain it to us again. It's so important that we understand the proper procedure for everything we want to do on the earth. The Bible says that there is a proper procedure for every event that a man has to take part in or accomplish. So the matter of prayer also, there is a proper procedure. You don't just do things the way you like it. It's important all the time that we continue learning. The secret to success is to discover God's order. That's the secret of success. Success is not about how hard you work. It is how much of God's order that you have discovered. That's what is the secret of success. The only way you will succeed in life, because you see, God made everything. The example I like to give all the time is that if you buy an equipment made by Sony, and they tell you it's supposed to be used in the United States of America, where the voltage is 110 to 120, and you bring it to Nigeria, and you say, it's my own. I bought it with my money. I can do anything I like with it. And they say voltage in Nigeria is 220 to 240. And you plug it into the socket. It will work for how long? Maybe like 2 minutes. And then after that, you start smelling something. You understand? After that, the thing is burnt. Why? Even though it's your money, even though you bought it with your money, the equipment is yours, the person who made it in a particular way. This is not important, really, for those of us who are believers. It's just that we observe things that people are doing outside, and you just have to pass comments once in a while so that you just help people to understand things. All right, the craze now, you know, I think it's this week. America is going to experience some... The Supreme Court is going to release some judgments which will determine the course of events, I think, for a very long time in that country. Is this issue of homosexuality and all of that? Of course, the way it is in America, if you can't win through the ballot, you try and win through the courts. They can't win it in the ballot. They can't win it in the legislative houses. They can't win it. I mean, California is about the worst of the states, one of the worst, yet they took it to vote, and those people said marriage is between a man and a woman. Guys said, all right, we lost it here. Let us go to court and go and fight it. And they've won it in the lower courts. The thing is now in the Supreme Court. They're supposed to release their judgment at any time from now. That's if they haven't done it already. Not very sure. Now, what they are going to judge whether it is right, whether it's a fundamental human right for you to marry anybody you bloody desire. You understand my point? If your name is Adam and you like Steve, you don't like Eve, no problem. You go ahead. That's what they're trying to say. And the thing has reached the courts, all right? It's legal in a lot of countries all over the world, especially in Europe. A lot of European countries, it's very legal, all right? And they have subverted things to a particular level. My friend who is in the UK, he says when his wife was pregnant and they went to the clinic, he found out they don't ask whose husband, whose wife is. It's a partner. And then instead of male and female, it's now parent one. You know, like, you know, a child is born. There's father and mother, you know, in the birth certificate. They don't write that anymore. They now write parent one and parent two. Because parent one could just be John Bull, while parent two is maybe Frederick, you know, that kind of thing. Why am I talking about all of this? It's not very important for us as individuals, but because we're believers, just to help us understand the perspective. The argument they give all the time is that it's natural, it's the way the people are made, is a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. How do I know it's a lie? It's simple. The Bible says it's a lie. God said it's a lie. No matter how the fellow feels, if you don't tell him it's a lie, he won't know it's a lie. I bought the equipment myself. I decided to plug it here. Listen, it will die if Sonic or Sanyo, whoever made it, said, use it at the voltage of 120, all right, to 140, or 110 to 120. If you plug it to 220 to 240, it dies. He said, no, I like it. This is the voltage in my house. That's just the way it is. I have bought the equipment. If I paid my money for it, it's mine. What difference does it make? You didn't make it. The manufacturer said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and be joined to his wife. The man has to be joined to a woman. It's scripture. You are getting my point? So it's not what we feel about it. What they have done is to bombard the airwaves. CNN is in the forefront of this campaign. They're always presenting anything that a homosexual man or woman does that is nice. They will point it out that this man is gay. The man who read a poem during Obama's inauguration this second time, and I say he's a member of the gay lesbian community, they will let you see. Handsome guy wrote a very beautiful poem. They won't let it pass. They will drop it for you so that you will notice that they are normal people. The woman who is suing to have her right to marry, you understand, established, is 80 years old. So they want to show you that they are normal people. But I don't care about all of those things. Why? Because the Bible says it is a lie. Let me summarize it like that. So much that God said, Paul said it very clearly in Romans chapter 1, that is depravity of mind. This is depravity. All right? And no matter how, on, you know, how politically inaccurate it sounds, the truth is the truth. I'm just dropping that one by the side, like I said, so that we understand what is going on. And I told somebody today, I think it was Yinka and I were talking, I said, if they rule in support of a man can marry a man, I will advise anybody I know there that plots to have your children raised up somewhere else. Your generation will not suffer severely, but your children's generation are going to have a problem. And I tell people already, if you live in the UK, you live in Europe, please try and have your children raised up back in Nigeria or South America or Asia. You are safer in the next generation to grow up in China. Trust me. Why? Because you see, there's a principle, all right, you see about life. If everybody is doing something, God judges it, it's bad. But there's a limit to the judgment if the government says it is out of order. That is, as a people, you have not yet accepted it. So judgment is individual. But as a nation, if you say, yes, it is okay, then the judgment now becomes collective. All right? Now, I just dropped that one by the side to help us understand some principles in life. What you need is to know what God says and follow like that. If God says, don't take thought for tomorrow, that is, don't worry about tomorrow. No matter how much faith you have, if your prayer is about tomorrow, he won't hear it. I don't know whether you get my point. He said, I have learned how to pray. I'm going to command tomorrow to be secure. I said, Lord, therefore, what you're going to do for me, please give me this amount of money so I can secure my children's destiny and their future. He won't answer you. Because his word is, take no thought. That is, don't be anxious about tomorrow. That's the word of God. All right? There are things, you know, Moses prayed at the time. God said, don't stop bringing up this matter. I don't want you to pray about it again. I know, I talked about this sometime. I know it was last year. There are things we should not pray about. There are things we should pray about. There are things we must pray about. And there are things we must not pray about. That's the way I explained it. There are things that God said, don't talk about them. There are things he says, say this, pray this prayer, then I will answer. Like Jesus told the people that, look, there's a time you'll have to flee. All right? Just pray. He said, that day will come. But he said, this is what you can't pray. He was saying that judgment day should not come. And one of the reasons why you couldn't pray that prayer is that Jesus was going to be crucified. And once you crucify him, that land was cursed. That was it. No, that was it. Final. Nothing. You can't pray the curse away. All right? So he said, for that, and that's because they have been killing prophets for a very long time. And this was the last one they were going to have the opportunity to kill. That once they do that, then judgment is going to come upon that land. He said, but you can pray that the day you'll have to run will not be during winter. Are you getting my point? He said, you can pray so that your conscience won't be defiled, that you will not have to run on the Sabbath day. He said, you can make those petitions to the Lord, but that you won't run one day, forget, don't even pray about it. If you want to be sure you won't run at all, run early. You understand my point? That you won't be in a hurry. But that the destruction was determined, like I was it Jeremiah that said it, overflowing with righteousness, that one is certain, it was going to happen. So we learn how to pray. We learn the things to say, the things not to say. One of our brothers the other day called me. It's very important what I'm talking about. In fact, I want to share with us over the next few days on another principle. It's part of what we've been talking about here and there. I don't know which. How do I explain it now? We talked about the role of fasting in prayer last time. Now I want to talk about how faith works in prayer. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, all right? How faith works in prayer. Now, he called me the other day and he said that somebody called him and said that you shouldn't go out the next day. Now, listen to this, though. You have to be careful that people don't toss your head about to and fro like every wind of doctrine. He said, just wanted to tell me about it, all right? That don't go out tomorrow. Stay in your house between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. and be fasting and praying. Is that a good thing? Yes, you should occasionally take time out to fast and pray. But what is the motivation? It says you pray against every altar where they want to use his blood as sacrifice. I said, if you have work to do, better go and do your work. That was my answer. I said, if you have work to do, better progress and go and execute your assignment for the next day. If you stay at home, praying against the altars, now listen to this, praying against the altars that they want to use your blood for sacrifice, you will die faster. You hear what I said? If as a Christian, they call you and say, tomorrow pray against the altars that want to use your blood for sacrifice, don't go out. I am telling you now. I am telling you so that you know I didn't make a mistake in what I'm saying. Men, look, no deliverance preacher will agree with me on what I want to say. Most people who run so-called prayer ministries do not agree. But let me say it and hear it. It's a matter of fact. You will die faster if you stay at home praying that prayer. You want to live long? That's that they say, I'm not the prayer. Today, let me just worship the Lord. All right? Just going on the road. God of miracles, now my papa. Oh. I'm going to say, let's pray about your needs. Today, I need nothing. Today, I just want to thank God. Lord, I thank you for the air I breathe. I thank you for the water I drink. Thank you for food. Look for where they are doing wedding. You know, that on Monday, there were weddings all over the place. Just been going from one wedding to the other. When they say toast to the bride and groom, shout your own loud, hip, 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 whatever, they be there. Rejoice from morning till night. Then when the time they gave you has passed, you cannot go back to your normal mood. And at the end, you look at the devil and say, you can't do me anything. I'm aware of it, and you will not push me into unnecessary prayer. If you are still praying against the altars where they want to use your blood for sacrifice, you're a candidate for that altar. You dey fear. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I like to tell this all the time, you know, because it drives the point home properly. The story, Derek Prince. There are people who are familiar spirits. Listen, a man stands up and starts giving you gist does not mean he's speaking the word of God. What I mean by gist is that somebody's here, your GSM number is 080. In fact, most people who call GSM numbers, my experience today, they are frauds or they use familiar spirits. There are, listen, notice the word I said is what? Most. What did I say? I didn't say all, because there are diversities of manifestations. But my experience in today's Nigeria, this is the year 2013, in case you are listening to this in 2025, and things have changed. But as at 2013, my experience is that most people who get to the pulpit and start calling people's GSM numbers, most of them are either frauds or they use familiar spirits. There will be a few that are real. When Paul and was it Silas, when they got into trouble, it was because they cast out the demon from a girl that had a familiar spirit. So those things happen. The girl had a spirit of divination, all right? Some other translations we say, in which she could tell things about you. You walk into her presence, it tells you where you are coming from, tells you things, and then tells you things that she says will happen to you. And I've told you before, they do happen. They do happen. And listen, you will see it in a moment. If they tell you as a Christian, it will not happen, except you give in to them. If you are not a believer, they plant it in you, you hear it, the spirit of fear comes in and directs you into the place where it's going to happen to you. That's why it's not everywhere you go. Stop reading horoscope. Those are just want to say what they are saying. Why are you seeing what they are saying? Why don't you go and lick shit and see how it tastes? When you are thirsty, go gutter. I just want to see whether the water is bad or good. You don't, have you done that one before? So when you are checking what they are, it's because your body is looking for divination. When I get to that page in papers, I don't even notice whether people still have it. Do they still have it? My eye doesn't locate it anymore. The reason is this. You read that kind of thing, they plant nonsense inside your heart. It starts directing you to the fulfillment of it. So they don't make any long-term agreement. That is what they propose to you. You see? What agreement can be longer than agreeing to marry? You get the point? Don't even go near there. Don't. Anyway, so there are people like that. So Derek Prince was casting out this demon from this girl who had a familiar spirit. And as he was praying over her, the spirit acted up. It's very common in the Bible. They bring a boy to the presence of Jesus Christ, that's when he starts throwing the feet. You know, there's a story that I read from Alexander Dowie. They brought a two-year-old, a four-year-old to him. That this boy had the, in fact, the parents said this boy had the spirit. And the man said, yes, indeed he has. And he told them how the boy got the spirit. And a murderous, that boy, thank God, didn't grow up like that. He would have been a killer. He used to kill animals as a child. You know, most children don't do things like that. The day the parents lost it was when they found him choking his younger one to death in the court. They said, this is too much. They brought him to Dawi. Let me make the story short. When he was going to pray for the boy, he started shouting, I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to faint. The man said, do it. Do anything you want to do, but you are going out this moment. The little boy was so strong, that we big man had to put his knee on his chest to pin him to the ground. Cast the demon out of him, the boy fell down as if he was dead. Woke up later, a perfectly normal child. So demons act up when you want to throw them out. That's the point I'm making. They do act up. So the reprimand said, the demon in Hasara began to act up. She suddenly had a vision and turned to the reprimand. I said, I see you in a car that's crashed around the tree, a red car. I always like to tell that because it's one of the most instructive ways to let believers get the point. The reprimand is a very calm Englishman in his days. He turned to her simply. He said, it doesn't matter. That is the devil's plan. I don't walk in the devil's plan. Cast out the demon, no prayer, nothing. 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 No prayer. The man died a few years ago. He was almost 90 years of age. This happened maybe like 40 years before. No prayer. Nothing. There was nothing about it. Not honey. Today, as I was praying, the devil said, that evil spirit said that I'm going to crash my car. Let us start binding the car crashing spirit. What we are doing a lot of times is that we are giving into fear. We are giving into fear. Suddenly we are afraid. And that's what the devil really wants. He wants to use that one to lead us into, trouble. You will know people that call you and tell you things. If you were listening to me, you had that experience. You know, when they talk, you are not settled again. They call you. You are going to travel tomorrow. Have you prayed over it? Cast out the demons between here and 9th mile. That one needs seed. Then the one from Waka to Onitsha. You are going to Onitsha here. What does that one need? Blood or sprinkling or what? Mantle. It needs something. You are anointing oil. So when you get there, you come down. Driver, wait. You go anoint the road. You wonder whether your head is correct. Fear. If you have any friend like that, next time he calls, don't answer. He said, listen, my friend, this is your prophetic anointing. Be careful with it, too. No, warn the fellow straight that every time you call, I fear, they fear. And I'm not a sinner. You always call me to scare me. And the Saturday story is like, that's why I want this man. I didn't listen. He died. They say, you see, you sir, you go die. Because don't come and scare. No, I'm serious. That's why, listen, just by the way, sometimes it sounds very harsh. You need to treat to. There are people you treat like that, they will leave you alone. All this your niceness, that's why they are still calling you. If you call me again, like that man you told me died, now so you go take die. Choose. Die or stop calling. It's true. We have been scaring you for nothing. This is how they told this person, and the person that, that's why, let me tell you, there are things you don't do. I've told you, they will forward something to you by email, these days, by WhatsApp. BB Messenger, whichever one you are on. Any of the gossip media. Send this to 10 people. And in 5 days, you will get a breakthrough. Reject that breakthrough. See, any breakthrough I need, I pray about it. I've not told you the wicked ones yet. I just told the one that say, send this and you will get breakthrough. Forward this to 5 people, and then you will get a fivefold anointing. Once you write me a nice story, I get a lot of things that I define. Some are funny. They are interesting jokes. You understand my point? And I forward them without being told. Once you say, forward this to 8 people and watch out for a breakthrough, I delete it. No matter how I define it, that's the end of it. Sometimes, when the thing is so sweet to me, in fact, I've never even done that one, I will cut it, remove your forward line, and send it. But once you put forward, the joke stops there. The edification stops there. It's between me and my wife. The only person I share it with is my wife. And forwarding to nobody. Those days, they will say, if you don't send it out, one woman refused to, his chicken died. One woman refused to, butterfly entered her face. And that person, they tell you all the bad things that happened to people who refused. One was sacked, one died, and all of that. As God is my witness, I have never, ever in my life been threatened by any one of them. Once you say that, that is the end of the story. It dies there. I'm saying you never can tell. I can tell. What's wrong with you? I can tell. I can tell that my life is in God's hands. I can tell that forwarding or not forwarding things is not going to make me prosper or refuse to prosper. I can tell. What is your problem? You're telling me I can't tell. I can tell. Why did I talk about that? You don't give in to fear at all. Why a lot of people do is that they are afraid. That's peradventure. I said, nah, lie. This one, I know they do. You never, you know, you get all kinds of, you know, let me tell you. Look, listen. In life, you have to form certain habits. You have to form certain habits. Have you ever gotten this kind of message? Microsoft has agreed with Michael Dell and Cisco to popularize a new system they are developing. Forward this message to this number of people. And then after a while, they are working with MTN, you get a recharge card worth 1,005. You understand? People will say, hey, forwarding it is not much now. Maybe it's for 5 naira to 10 people, 15 naira. You never can tell. What if it is true? You've got messages like that. There's one that was flying around recently on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is about to deactivate many lines of those who are not using it. Forward it to everybody in your contact so as to show that you are still using it. Otherwise, your line will be inactivated. You know, say, Pastor Banky, God bless you. I have never in my life fallen for one. Never. Never. One day somebody forwarded to me that Sonny Ericsson has developed a new computer. And that forward that mail to, if you can forward it to up to 100 people, when they finally release it, they'll give you a new one. They'll give you one. That they're trying to use that medium to popularize it. I said, oh, foolish Galatians. How many people do they have to dash laptops? If they spent one tenth of that money to dash people laptops to advertise it, won't we know about it? And people were forwarding it. It was obvious fraud. I'm bringing an issue to you. Make it a habit. You see, I've created a habit. My habit is once you start doing like this, you put a small thread, I cut it. When they say, WhatsApp said, I said, if WhatsApp has information for you, it will send you from their server. And in case you are wondering, go to their website. If it's not there, it's a lie. But you know what people say? Just in case, it doesn't cost anything. What you don't realize, let me tell you, that's why I'm talking about all of this. What you don't realize is actually cost something. You are making statements of fear. You are making statements of instability. You are making statements that show that you're unstable. And you think it doesn't cost anything. It's costing you more than you think. You are making statements that show your life is not steady. And you say it doesn't cost anything because you think it's a 15 naira that's the cost. That's not the cost. That's why I personally make it a habit. Was that saying that forward your email, forward this mail to these people so that after some time you will be blessed? I refuse. Forward it, otherwise they will cut your line. I refuse. I say cut it first. What am I trying to say by that? I just formed a habit of you won't scare me. You will not scare me. One day people said that. My mother called me in the morning, said that she heard that Pastor Adeboye said nobody should wear red that day. I told my mother, I said, Mommy, you know, there are things you don't tell me. I said, I know, it's not you. Now who's talking to you? It's just because of my children, that's the grandchildren, that she just heard their mother. I said, well, it is too late. They are ready for school. They are ready for school already. And their mother has taken them out. I didn't even tell her that red is not in their uniform. I didn't say that. The important thing is that they have gone, and if red is in their uniform, they shall wear it. And if my wife said to wear a red scarf, and red blouse, and red skirt, you understand, and put red beads around her neck, I will not stop her. As for me, now that you have told me not to wear red, I'm looking for a red tie to put on right now. He said, I know, say now you sew your things be. I said, not that you know, say now sew my things be. Why are you? It's not you. It's just because of my children that time. I said, they've gone to school. Before the end of the day, Redeemer to issue a statement. I said, no, be will. No, be will. Pastor, yeah, they didn't say anything like that. I said, I don't care. Let him say it. I'm going to wear my red. Why? I have formed the habit that nobody's carrying me. Nobody. On these spiritual matters, nobody is scaring me. Nobody. One day, Pastor Annie, my friend, in Abba, said, somebody called him one night. night, proper night. He picked the cup and said, blood. I'm going to drink your blood. Your blood. So he answered the person, say, yes. Drink it. Choke on it. The blood of Jesus. You will drink it. You will choke on it. The fellow caught the phone. He dialed back. He dialed back. Say this one. You don't enter today. Send the person text. You will choke. Drink it. I'm offering it to you. Open your mouth and start drinking. It was that. Finally, the fellow quenched the phone. Left him alone. If it's some people, you go. Those who are not pastors, they will call the pastor. Oh, pastor, they want to drink my blood. Then if their pastor, they say, they wake up, they put it down. In the name of Jesus, this is my blood. Nobody will drink it. Nobody will drink it. Look, there are things you will hear. You will just, you know, nobody's going to give me a prayer agenda. Are you getting my point? The devil is not going to dictate how I respond to life. I have formed that habit of all those things, they don't scare me. Want to say, forward this, otherwise it will activate your line. No query. That's the one. That, in fact, the thing I wanted to forward that day, no forwarding for today. People say, it doesn't cost anything, just in case. You don't realize that you are feeding fear. I don't know whether I get my point. You are giving it food. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger in your life, and you must never let that happen. You must never let it happen. You must never let it happen. If they go for us, somebody blow jazz on, you know what they call jazz. Don't, I'm telling you, don't even pray about it. Don't even cast out that demon. I'm telling you, don't even speak against it. Say that jazz, you know, there are different ways to respond. Listen, this one is not bad, all right? But I'll tell you the superior one. People can say to you, don't worry, we will get you. And you say, in the name of Jesus, you can't get me. I'm a child of God. Is it bad? No, it's not bad. It's good. Let me tell you the superior one. It will get you. But let me tell you one that's very nice. Do the person like this. You know, the Nigerian style. So that means I'm not afraid of you. But the best of all is when you just say, you look at you. We are going to get you. You know, we are planning for you. We witches, wizards. Obanje spirits all put together. Just tell the person, get away, I have things to do. That's not even the best way. That's another level. I'm giving you the different levels. The lowest and effective is effective, but it's lowest. You say, you can't get me. I am hidden in Christ Jesus. My life is hid. It's not bad, but it's the least way. One that's superior to that, just do the person. And just walk on like say nothing happened. And that one that's superior to that is, I have things to do. The most superior. Everybody finished talking, just continue like nobody said anything. Continue like nobody is there. Whether I fly, mosquito, butterfly. Somebody said, did you hear that? Hear what? Somebody said something just now. To me? What's he talking to me? You know, you don't like this. Just ignore it like nothing happened. That is the perfect will of God. A lot of prayers we pray, I'm telling you, they are prayers of fear. They say they will get me, Pastor. What do I do? You will rise up at night. That is when the power of the devil is thickest. You will get up and combat them and start fighting. Both you and your pastor are afraid. If you call me and say, but like that brother called me, I said, you know the normal thing now. I said, you have work to do tomorrow. I said, hey, go about your business. Because we're talking about it, so I answered. This is what God has said about you. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Don't be afraid of anything. You don't need, if I'm the one, if I got that call personally, I will not even tell my wife yet. I won't tell her until the evening is over, so that I won't be tempted. It's when the following day, as I said, yo, do you know somebody called me 2 days ago, say I shouldn't go out, I should be praying against altars that want to drink my blood. Let's summarize it. Why am I talking like this? Because they can't. What did I say? Because they can't. And the more you give them attention, the more they give you direction. The more, no, listen to this. The more you pray about them, the more you are recognizing their ability to do it. That's why I said the most effective way, just pretend like nobody said anything. He said, it's good to fight back. Well, go and read what the Bible says. With what do you quench the fiery darts of the devil? What? The shield of what? Faith. That glance where I glance away, do you understand? Is a shield of faith. That get away from there that I said is loaded. What did I say? It's loaded. It's loaded. I know there's nothing the fellow can do. No, I mean, if somebody who is your mate wants to fight you, as I said, look, listen, let me get ready for you. But you know, they have a saying in, where's the line? I know that he knows this. They have a Yoruba proverb. That, who speaks Yoruba here? Anyway, there's this insect, you know, when you, if you put a light outside, you know, like a light, you know insects, those little black ones that have wings that fly around it. All right. Yorubas call it afopino, which means that fly to quench the light, something like that, the fire. So they have a saying in Yoruba land that any of those flies that will say they are going to put out the lamp, that they only put themselves out. You know, the proverb started when there were no lamp shades and stuff like that. So the lamp is burning physically there. I know the way they collide with light. He said the one that says he wants to put out the light, it only put itself out, which is the truth. The lamp is burning. See, the sensible insects, they just buzz around. Keep their godly and righteous distance. But occasionally some of them lose track. Boom, into the fire. Then you say, pew, you're here. Tum. Then you smell something. And those people gathered around the fire, do they do anything about it? They don't say, insect, you want to enter the fire? Please go ahead. It's free. Anybody charging to enter the fire? They say, no, nobody's charging. So enter the fire. That is the way a believer responds. I'm the fire. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a child of God, I'm the fire burning. Anybody that's trying to utter all those nonsense tells you is the insect that wants to collide. They have an understanding like that in Yoruba land. That any egg, you know what they call egg? That an egg decides that I want to collide with a piece of rock. The rock will say, egg, if you come near me, you can't do me anything. In the name of Jesus, you can't do me anything. If you collide me, you go suffer. Nothing. You go just stay there and say nothing happened. Do you hear? Bah! I will come and clean this place up. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Sometimes when we respond too much, all right, it's a sign of our fear. It is. When you stay up at night praying against all the altars, you know, I hear preachers say all kinds of funny things. You are sleeping. Your enemies are not sleeping. That should let you know that they are the enemy. I don't know what I get the point. I am the child of God. That one you have told me that you are sleeping, your enemies are not sleeping. You should know who's winning. But they make you look like you're not serious. You're not taking your life serious. No, I'm taking it serious. Like I always say, why should they sleep? The Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. Have you not read it before? There's no rest for the wicked. So why should they sleep? They shouldn't sleep. Why should they sleep? No. In Jesus' name, in fact, my only prayer is that God, don't let them sleep. But like I always add, David said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. Because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. Listen, it is ungodly and unrighteous to stay up at night praying against people who are not sleeping. People say, right now they are offering sacrifices. That's their problem. Have you never read what Balaam said? No matter the amount of sacrifice you offer against Jacob, your divination will not work. Your enchantments will not work. Why don't you believe that and go to sleep? We did a drama when I was in university, and it was titled Touch Not. The last scene was supposed to be one in which, of course, the way it was that people were firing African, you know, these occultic missiles, and against one young man who had given his life to Christ. So when the drama was being plotted, the young man at that point, we were trying to show the victory that's in Christ Jesus, was supposed to be praying, and then As that man will see something, he will pray in Jesus' name. And then something will happen on the other end. So that happened to have come in that day. I didn't act in that drama. So I just came that day and I watched that scene. I looked, I said, no. There's something out of order. They said, what? I said, when we are being attacked as Christians, we don't know. So we changed the scene. And what did we do? Hot incantations, sacrifices, divinations, enchantment was going on one end. Then at the same time, on one part of the stage, this young man was shown that he just came back from other fellowship or class and he wanted to sleep. So he got to the room. As that man was doing all his, you know, just, and firing missiles, young boy just, he would just yawn, kick off one of the, you know, one of the shoes on his feet, sit down on the bed, and all this was going on, he would kick off the other one, and just like that, now, wow, come on, shit, that was all he did. He was just living normally, casually. And on the other side, as that man was doing what he was doing, after a while, the fire of heaven began to fall, and literally we set that place on fire. Scattered the whole place, killed the man, and this young man was never aware. Do you get the point? And the day of the drama, somebody said that the part of it, he or she, I can't remember who now, enjoyed most, said to me was that last scene. That the guy was just going about his normal business and he did not even know the battles that were being fought and won on his behalf. That's how your life is. That's how your life is. I said that is how your life is. Every day, God is fighting on your behalf. Every day, he is winning. And he doesn't want you to spoil it by being afraid. So that's why he doesn't tell you too many things. And peradventure you hear, don't be alarmed as if, hey, bad thing won't happen. Bad thing was wanting to happen every day for the last 2 years. I hope you know that. Bad thing has been trying to happen to you for a long time. Sometimes we give testimonies to appear as if, once it began to happen, I began to shout, Jesus, and then my voice went out. And we are taking small of the glory. At least, yeah. I say, God, take 95%. This 5%, you'll give me, may I keep. What you don't realize is that most times that bad things try to happen, you were not even aware. And not just your Jesus, Jesus is against your fear. It is not against the issue. The issue has already been tackled. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Yes, God is already watching over you like the apple of his eyes. The angels of God, they are surrounding you as you sit down there and they are delivering you all the time. Are you getting what I'm saying? The blood of Jesus has ensured that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus far above principalities and powers and any arrow that can be fired or any name that can be named. Are you getting my point? No matter what the evil that has been plotted against you is taken care of. A lot of times you shout, in the name of Jesus. It's because you have to quell your own fear. Those things tend to work a lot against your fear. It doesn't work for your protection. Your protection is guaranteed by the word of God. Jesus is doing it all the time. His angels are on full alert. They don't fall asleep. Do you get what I'm going to explain? It's important. Christians have to learn to live. You know, I say live free. You know, live free. Live relaxed. Stop casting out demons out of your, you know, you hear kuru at night. What is there? In Jesus' name. It's a joke my friends and I used to crack those days. If you hear something like, you know, the door opens, you didn't see anybody. Say, look, these angels, me and I did knock now. That was our own joke. No, that was our own joke. A door opens, something creeps through, you don't see anything. You say, what was that? Say, must be an angel. Maybe they are exchanging duties, something like that. We just call it like nothing happened. But people bred in fear. Hold my hand. Let's rebuke. Let's fight. Stand. No weapon. Why must it be a weapon? Why can't it be a blessing? Why must it be a weapon? Believe me, you're a child of God. Most of the time, it's a blessing. So if you hear kuru in your roof at night, just assume that it is the angels above, the ones taking the top area. Look, witches know where they go. You know, I've been saying it to you. They don't come near my house. The only power the devil tries to exert against you as a believer and me is one or two things. Number one, the temptation is number one. It's number one. The one he uses a lot is ignorance. tries to keep you occupied with things that won't let you learn. That's it. But the one that uses directly is temptation. That's why the Bible says, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Let your delight be in the word of God alone. Meditate in it day and night. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you'll be able to observe to do all that is written therein. That way you make your way prosperous and you have good success. Temptation is all the devil can use against you. And the devil that tries to creep through the roof, is that a temptation? So don't worry, it's not the devil. If I hear Gideon on top of my roof, there are these birds that used to come and land on top of my roof. You know, it never crossed my mind that they were witches. You know, one day I prayed against them as birds. You know why? They would land and be crawling up and down. And the croo, 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 croo noise was very annoying. And I remember I prayed. I said, Lord, let your angels dislodge them. And they left. No fight. It's just I wanted to sleep. I don't want croo, 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 croo. They are not, even if they are bats and owls, it's okay. A black cat is not more devilish than a fine girl. I hope you know that. In fact, guys, ladies, close your ears. Let me talk to these young men. Black cats are more honest than a lot of fine girls on the road. There are more demons inhabiting some of these fine girls on the road than black cats. I hope you know that. I just want you to know. Old women in villages, they have fewer demons than fine girls in cities. Yes. All those old men in village, they don't lead any politician into iniquity, do they? They're in the village. The one that carries demons are the one with seducing spirits. The ones that are winks with the eye, according to the Bible. People often look for demons where demons don't stay. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. The owl doesn't have any witchcraft inside. It's just a bed. I love white people for that. If a white man see owl, you go bring camera. Chick, chick, chick. If a black man see, you go rebuke him. No. Christians must no. You must walk in liberty. Are you getting my point? What did I say? You must walk in liberty. You must walk in liberty. Let me say to you, this is the word of God. No evil will befall you.
Amen.
I said, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
Satan came up before the Lord. The Lord said that, have you considered my servant Job? He said, there's no need. You have put an edge around him. That is, there's a security fence around him, electrified, angelified, you know? You can electrify it. You can angelify it. Those ones, that the one around Job, they were angelified. Chariots of fire, round about, around him. That was Satan's testimony. He knew it. And let me say it to you again. The hedge of God is also around you. The hedge of God is also around you.
Amen.
Let me say one more time. The angelified security fence around of God is also around you.
Amen.
Therefore, there's no need to be afraid. Every crew, most of the crews, I hope you don't mind my new English there. You know, I have to invent these things once in a while to fit our situation. You understand?
Uh-huh.
So most of the crews around you, at night and at all hours of the day, they are angels. They are bringing blessings. Do you get my point? If something passes, boom, you know, in your peripheral vision, it's not an evil spirit running away. It's the one you watch in the home video that's disturbing you, all right? It's not an evil spirit. It's an angel taking cover. Doesn't want you to know he's there. If your door opens and you hear, and it closes again, it's not a demon. If it's a spirit being, it's an angel. Demons don't come near your house. They don't like the place. Why do they want to come to a house where people are living in harmony? Why do they want to come to a house where you will start praising God now and they will start getting, you know, serious body itch? Why do you think they come to your house? They don't. Say, so anoint your periphery against the blood-sucking demons. Why are you bothering? I think it's a sign of your fear. It's a sign of your Africanness, you get my point? lack of liberation. I don't anoint my premises against witches. It's good. I've done it once to anoint my premises and declare the word of God. It's good. Go around, declare the word of God. The protection of God is upon here. Prosperity of God is here. It's a sign of faith. But not because no witches. Let me tell you. If you cross this fire line, maybe I did that long, long ago. If you cross this line, fire go burn you. Now I don't need to say it. You know why? They know it. We know it. They know I know they know it. And I know they know I know that they know it. So there's an agreement. So I know they don't bother. Let me say it to you again. The only thing Satan tempts you with, because that's how he follows Christians about, is temptation. He plants evil thoughts in your mind. Did you see the way he looked at you? Did you see? He's still angry about what happened 3 years ago. Oh, I love my wife. Amen? You know, such evil spirits can't stay in my wife's mind. In fact, they last longer with me. Because my wife said, come, did you wink at me because of what happened 3 years ago? She will ask you that. So the evil spirits, they've left her alone. I love that girl for that reason. She's not in town, traveled. I'm telling you, she doesn't waste time. If the evil spirit said to her, this is the way she winked at you, she hasn't forgotten, and she claims to be your friend, my wife will just call you, come, that wink just now, was it at me for anything that happened 3 years ago? That is the thing, can't stay. Say, eh, is it? I said so. It's not possible. That's the end of it. That's where Satan jumps in from. One day my wife gave a testimony. Husbands, we're always doing some bad things once in a while. You understand? You know, it's not as if we are bad people, though, just that, you know, we don't always cooperate. Amen? You know, sometimes you just don't cooperate. You say, okay. So, I don't know what I did that day. I can't even remember. But she said something. Which is testimony about it. So, things started going through her mind. That's how I did like this the other day. That's how I did like this the other day. He said, it had played for like 5 minutes. Then she woke up and said, Eshu, that is Satan, you have come. I said, no, I love my husband. He's a good man. He's a good father. He's an anointed preacher. She started saying all those things. Ah, Satan, let's say, get away, I'm just playing with you. That's how Satan responds. And she gave a testimony. That she just said, what is going on here? No. That's the only place Satan comes to. He wants to talk to you. Go and look at Garden of Eden. He then says, okay, demons. Oh, yeah, block that side. We are going to burn this place today. Let them cast us out. Let us see. No. He went to Eve. Good evening, ma. Are you busy? And Eve made the mistake. Said, sit down, feel free. But I mean, she didn't know. I think Eve did not know. Just by the way, Eve didn't know. Eve did not know he was a devil. The Bible said that he can appear like an angel of light. So I think he appeared to Eve like one of those friends that used to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow God into the garden when he will come. So he just said, good evening, ma. Oh, how are you doing? I'm fine, ma. Can I sit down? Oh, you must be tired. Look tired. Sit down. Thank you very much. Like a drink? He said, yes, ma. Has God really said? In the course of discussion. How do you handle this? My husband, Adam, said that, we do like that. Say, that fruit, what does it taste like? That one? No. Why no? We don't go near it. Why not? My husband said that God doesn't like us going. He said, has God really said you shouldn't eat any of this fruit? He said, no, I didn't say so. Now, not be juice I give you. Now, not be fruit we make them from. I said, just this one. Why? He said, because the day we eat it, we shall surely die. Madam, why are you talking like this? Do I look dead to you? No. I've eaten it before. Are you serious? Yes. When you eat it, it just appear as if you were in darkness before. Boom! You begin to see everything. You know, okay, how did your husband know how to do this? Say God taught him. Fine. If you eat this, you won't need anybody to teach you anything. You will be like God. You will know what is right, what is wrong. You'll be able to discern what is right. I mean, just make up your mind. Are you sure? Oh, do I look dead to you? No, I tell you, I'm telling you, I've eaten it before. I'm talking from experience, madam. Okay, just try this. Listen to me. That's all Satan does. If he had the power we thought he had, he wouldn't be doing that much talking. I told my wife something. We're discussing about some issues in the house. You know, I said, no, children do things wrong, and you know, there's one young woman who stays with us, you know, did something once. What she did was very annoying. I told my wife, but that's not what annoyed me, because you don't know. I said, God gave obedience as a safeguard against ignorance. That is, God knows you don't know everything, so he gives obedience. That is, just obey what you are told, and you don't have to know everything. As time goes on, you will be learning. Until you have learned, until you have given you that freedom, just obey what you are told. That is, all Eve needed to do was to say, everything you have said makes a lot of sense. In fact, I will discuss with my husband when he comes. But the last instruction given was that we should not eat. He said, but you won't die. Hey, dying is not my problem. I don't mind dying, actually. The issue is that they said, don't eat. If there's another way of killing me, go ahead. But that one, I will not eat. Obedience is the safeguard that God has given you against ignorance. Because there are many things you don't know. There are many things you don't know. Why did I go into that? I'm not talking detail about it. Just to let you know that that's all Satan does. He comes around, tries to make you disobey the word of God. He can't crawl into your premises and try and kill you. He can't. What did I say? He can't. What did I say? I didn't hear you.
He can't.
He can't. It doesn't have that power. The only power he exerts consciously against the believer is the power of temptation. Is the power of temptation. The only way Satan gets a road into people's lives is through temptation. Don't be afraid of witches that fly by night. Don't be afraid. That's why Jesus said, pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. I used to think that he said, deliver us from evil. Let evil not come upon us. That was not what he said. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. It is when we do evil that we open the door for the devil. That's it. That is it. It's when we do evil that we open the door for the devil. That's it. That's why. So if you must wake up and pray against the devil, don't pray against the devil that's going after my money. The devil that's going after my money has been going after my money before my great-grandfather was born. So if you are alive today and you ever saw money in your pocket, the devil couldn't get that one. So leave him. You want to pray? Saying, this is my business, Lord. Let me not cheat anybody. Let me not walk covetously. Let me not be one that accepts bribe, either covertly or overtly. Let me not be one that perverts justice. That's what you should be praying. That's a deliver us from evil. That's what you need. I hope you're following what I'm going to explain. There's no reason on earth where a Christian should hear, remember my English, kru-kru. Any kru-kru around his life and should be afraid of Satan. Be pouring the blood of Jesus anyhow. You know, thank God that the thing doesn't finish. You know, God don't say the thing don't finish. We thank God that it doesn't finish. But if it was finishable, my brethren in Nigeria these days will have finished it. You talk to a sinner and say, the blood of Jesus. Evil so blood, everything, blood of Jesus. They want to pour it. In fact, the one that amazed me, they now pour it on the road. Let's pour it on the road from here to Lagos. 600 kilometers. Thank God it doesn't finish. Because if it was finishing, nobody would be saved now. Because those were saved before, they finished everything. But thank God it doesn't finish. Amen? Amen. Yeah, it cannot finish. They have used it anyhow. You know what they call abuse? I think I should preach a message titled Abuse of the Blood. I'll call the message NAFDAC and Imprisonment. Drug abuse. You know they call drug abuse? If you misuse a drug without prescription or not in line with what it was intended for. Nobody abuse be that. That is drug abuse. So we'll call it the message blood abuse. Yeah, that's the summary. Blood abuse. You announce it on radio. We are doing a seminar on blood. You know some people will come down and say, yes, we are going to finish all our enemies. They won't know that I'm plotting against them. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, what I wanted to do today, I'm not, you know, as I wanted to start talking about what? How faith works in prayer. All right, I hope I said something about that. I don't know, but I hope you are blessed today, Sha. I hope you are blessed today. But see, it's important to understand that. Don't sow seeds of fear in your life. Don't. Now, okay, I started all of this by trying to explain a principle that we must follow divine order. Yes, that's where I started from. And there are things that God doesn't expect us to pray about. There are things we don't start wasting our time about. That's what I was just talking about when I now went all this way and the time finished on me. So maybe next time I come back, I will begin again to talk about how faith works in prayer. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's rise to our feet quickly. I want us to just, we have a few minutes. Sometimes we overshoot, so today that we are not overshooting in time, I don't think we shouldn't make it this point that we must finish the time. You know, we have this book of incantations of the Lord, amen. Remember, there is a book of incantations of the Lord. You know, for those who do not know, let me say it again. If you are in a cult here, say amen.
Amen.
All of you know. If you are the original occultist, say amen.
Amen.
If you have been initiated into the thickest of the thick cloths with the thickest of the bloods available, say amen.
Amen.
If you are amongst those that drink blood, say amen.
Amen.
If you are amongst those that eat human flesh, say amen.
Amen.
If you go beyond eating human flesh, you even eat godly flesh, say amen.
Amen.
So you see, you are the original occultist. Turn to your neighbor, shake the hand, say, congratulations, fellow occultist. That you're in the real cult. Not all those, you know, there are some stupid, small, weak cults like Ogboni. They say they, you know, in Western Nigeria, they have what they call the Reformed Ogboni Fraternity. They now have the original Ogboni Fraternity. Whether it is the original or the reformed is weak. Amen?
Amen.
They are inferior. If anybody wants to drink blood, they drink blood of animals or sinners. No, we so. We drink blood, don't we? Not of animals, not of sinners, but the precious blood of Jesus unstained. That is what we drink. And Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not have life in you. If you have life in you, say amen.
Amen.
That means you ate the flesh and you drank the blood. Every cult, they have their words. I like the way they say it in Yoruba. They call it Odu. You know? When you're young, the expressions you hear. When a man will talk, say, Odu. What does that mean? Odu means that deep. The thing dead inside, Ijinle, that one is deep. You know? They have it. Only the initiated understands those words. Except you are initiated. They don't make sense to you. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
the word of God is the Odu of God. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God, that is their utterances, things spoken from ages past. They may look like ordinary words, but listen to me, they are coded. They are deep. Only those who ate the flesh and drank the blood, who gave their life in exchange, say, God, take, let me have the life of Christ in me. They are the ones that can utter them. And every man in the cult, every woman in the cult, don't just go around the day recklessly. You always utter. They call them incantations. Life doesn't just respond because you want it to respond. It responds because you tell it to respond. The words with which cult people used to tell things to happen is called incantations. Your Bible is the book of incantations of the Lord. You know, God has done me a great favor in life. He has taught me a lot of things. Some people, they don't know, say, these cult people, it doesn't mean anything. It means a lot if you understand. It is just that we are in a higher and deeper one. When those guys catch people who are inferior to them, they fry them. I hope you know that. Which is actually kill people. You think it's a joke? Oh, in case you do not know, witches kill people, though. Occultists, they kill people. I have authentic testimonies. You know, when you talk about this, it's African. No, many of them from white people. Derek Prince said, listen, as a missionary in Kenya, two elders in the church, I'm sure they are unbelievers. You know, I told you that a lot of unbelievers go to church. You understand? In a church, they were quarreling. One went to a native doctor that injured that man for me. That man said, ah, why should I have to injure him? Let me just kill him. The next day, the man dies. So that one came crying to the recruit and said, I have killed somebody. What happened? I told the native man to just injure him small. He killed him. So this is not like just Africans confusing themselves. White men came, they saw. Say, my God. John G. Lake said he had one chief in South Africa said to his boys, don't worry, next Sunday we'll set that man on fire. You know, he was very inquisitive. What's going on? So he went to the other man's house on Sunday to go and greet him to see what it would be like for a man to be on fire. He knew the time they fixed for cooking this man. So he was riding along with the man. They were on horses. The man was going around his farm. He was riding along, watching the man. So after a while, the man started getting tired. His body began to get hot. He was sweating profusely. He was getting so tired, he came down from the horse. He laid down. Ah! He said he looked and told the boys, his friend, his guys, something's going on here. They now gathered around the man and broke the power of the devil. That man recovered. What we are just saying is that if you're a child of God, they can't. And that's what I'm saying. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in them. That when they raise up accusations against you, the blood of Jesus speaks in your favor. He ever lives, we are talking about it on Saturday now, what Jesus did for you. He ever lives to make intercession for you. It's not how I'll talk about it. That's why you must sow seeds of mercy and sow seeds of intercession. Forgive people. Because one of the ways by which you make sure that Jesus can't help you is when you are yourself, you're a slave master. You want everybody that has done you evil to die. What am I trying to explain? We are just in a superior cult. That's what we are talking about. And our cult is open to everybody. You don't have to kill your son to enter or kill yourself. Somebody has already died and said, if you will believe, enter. We have the book of the Mysterion, that is the book of the mysteries of God. It's called the scriptures. You can't decode them unless he washes your eyes with his blood. But being diligent members of the cult of Christ, we also do our work of uttering the mysteries of God and uttering the incantations of God. That's how we use to preserve our lives. As I know, if you like, gather all the altars in Nigeria, the one, Haiti. Go to Haiti, raise up 1,000 zombies against me. They'll just die again. Why? Because the power that is keeping me alive is the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that's your portion, shout a loud amen. Our time don't go, but let's repeat. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
These are the incantations, so you are declaring things. It's not just recitations. You are declaring things into the air. Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
Say, I am not afraid of economic downturn. Say, because God is blessing me, my needs are supplied. Say, I follow after righteousness, and all things are added to me. The Lord is with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. I am not confused. I have a sound mind. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am led by his spirit. I walk in the will of God. You know, when that evil spirit said to Derek Prince dead, he said, I see in a car, a red car, crashed around the tree. The man said, that is the devil's plan, and I don't walk in the devil's plan. It's not about praying. The devil has his plan for my life. I'm not walking in it. Somebody can dream and say, Pastor Parker, I heard you died next year. I said, don't worry, I'll call you the year after. Why? That's the devil's plan. I'm not walking the devil's plan. You are not walking the devil's plan.
Amen.
You are walking in the will of God.
Amen.
Say it, I am walking in the will of God.
I am walking in the will of God.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I
fear no evil. For the Lord is with me. Say, He prepares the table before me. In the presence of my enemies. He has anointed my head with oil. That means I have divine enablement to fulfill God's assignment for my life. You know, He said He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know why people are always pursuing their enemies. Stay there. Watch. Are you getting my point?
Yes,
they will be there. They will see. Say it. My life is not an accident.
I was born on purpose
to fulfill the will of God for my life. And I'm walking in that will. I have all that I need to do everything God wants me to do.
All my needs are supplied.
I have enough to meet today's needs. Let's stop here. Say, surely. This will be our grace.
Surely.
Goodness.
Mercies.
They follow me
all the days of my
life. And I dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Just wave your hands and say, Father, I thank you. Just give Him thanks. It is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. I said it is well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. When you get home, put your hand on your door. When you get to work tomorrow, put your hand on your desk. You go to school, put your hand on your books and say to it, the home, the book, the car, whatever. Say, peace be upon you. And I declare to you that the peace of God will rest there in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, peace is not just there's no trouble. That is one part of it. Peace is the power, the tangible power of God that solves problems. Peace is the tangible power of God that solves problems. That's why it is possible for somebody to give it and to take it. You know, Jesus said it like this. When you get there, say to them, peace be upon this home. He said, if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest there. But if there's none, it will return to you. That means it's a tangible substance. It's not just the absence of troubles. It's the power of God that solves problems. Therefore, I say to you, peace be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That word will heal your sickness.
Amen.
When you get home and you say, peace be upon this home, people in that house, they will be healed.
Amen.
Your loved one in that house will be healed.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.